Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, yes. What is up, people? Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. This is Conversations with B, and this is your one host, B. And who do we have? We have our second host, just signed in. Who we got?
Robin. Hello, everyone.
Rob. All right. Conversations with B and Rob is back on air.
Woohoo!
And then for your listening pleasure, so Conversations with B and Rob has added a third co-host. And Michael, are you on air? It's holding on. And we've got Michael on air. Mike, what's up?
Hey, Michael.
And Inez.
Hello.
Hello, Inez.
Hi, how you doing?
Inez! It's Nezzy. What's up, Nezzy?
You.
I just knew that was up, Michael. What's up? We are back. Living large in this charge. What's up? So we will get started on our topic once the co-host signs in successfully. You know, things have changed in the last 13 years since we've been on air. You know, the technology is a bit different.
Yes, it is.
Different.
We've got to work on it. All right, we've got coming on in a moment. So today's topic, you guys, we're going to talk about toxic relationships.
Wow.
Family members or significant others.
Mm-hmm.
This is where we're going, and, you know, as a return show, I think it's a great start.
Yes. Especially coming off of the Thanksgiving holiday when we just had to spend time with our family. And some
for real.
I'm sure that they had a great drama-free Thanksgiving. But for some, I don't think it was that good. Because some people are born into families who just adore spending time with each other. And they have their loving, mutual bonds that make holidays, you know, just like a vacation. But on the other, simply seeing an upcoming, you know, a family member can trigger anxiety that dates back to childhood. And it can leave family gatherings and make a person have hurt feelings and angry. Anybody ever experienced something like that from having a family gathering?
No,
well, it's been a minute
since
I've had a family gathering. It's been a minute since I've had a family gathering for just that reason, because a lot of my family history is toxic. So I have kind of stayed away from a lot of family members over the years. Rob, you know this. You know, Nez, you know this. Like, I stay away because we know that Bridget is not wrapped too tight sometimes, still to this day. And I'm the type that will come to the family gathering to start beef. So I stay away from family gatherings. But I've got some, being a therapist now, I've gotten some interesting family gathering stories.
All right.
What's the most interesting toxic family gathering story that you have for us?
Who, me?
Yes, you.
The ones I have is...
Okay.
So the ones that I have is the ones that we go way back, and when we start talking, then somebody ends up talking about something that they had a beef with a long time ago, and it brings it up and it starts it all over again. It's like the beef never ended.
But you know why? They never talked about it. No one never resolved it. That's probably why. A lot of times families will have the beef because it's not resolved. People are just responding in anger. People are just responding from the hip, to from what they know to respond to, and they're not really bracing the situation about the toxicity. You know, like every family. Go ahead.
No, I was gonna say I don't even think it's that deep, really. I think it's just to create havoc and to play the victim. You know what I'm saying? Because of the situation that's going on in your life, so you start picking you pick and choose the things that you want to talk about, but you make it seem as though everything is aimed at you. But you are the creator, okay?
Yep. I feel that a lot of people create their drama. A lot of people do create the drama, but then we have to look back, where does their reaction come from? So if they're creating the drama, where did they learn this drama creation from?
That's the question.
That's the all-powerful question. And a lot of times, again, it's like, I had a client one time, and I'm not going to give any specifics because I'm not going to get my license snapped. But I had a client just one day out the blue was telling me about their, and I'm not even going to say if they're male or female because I don't give out the information, but they start telling me about the toxicity in the family, so much so that this person was abused by a relative, sexually abused from a very young age. And the family hid it. They hid it, and now that this person's an adult, they're still hiding it and playing these games, and the family won't even invite them to certain things because the person that molested them is coming to the event.
Wow.
So this is where the family toxicity, it needs to come out. And this person even told me, it's like, well, Bridget, I tried to have a gathering. I told them, like, look, let's get this on the table. Let's talk about it. He said, no one showed up. They said, no one showed up. No one showed up to this because they do not want to face their own toxic behavior and how they enable this person to continually to molest their family members when they were a child. All right, we've got Michael on the air finally. We've got Michael.
Hey,
y'all.
Michael. Who all is here? Because I'm a little... I heard multiple voices here. What's the tea?
Hi, Michael. This is Robin.
Hey, Robin. How you doing, sugar?
I'm all right, nephew.
Oh, good to hear from you, auntie. Long time no hear.
Yeah.
And I got an old auntie Inez on the phone.
Hello. How you doing, Michael?
All right. How are you?
I'm fine. How about yourself?
I'm out here living it. You know Rick Ross and not loving any folk out here, but loving me.
You know what? Hey, that's what it's all about.
You know, putting me first.
Loving you. Because a lot of times we don't love you. We don't love ourselves.
Thank God for therapy.
Look here. Say it again. Thank God for what?
Thank God for therapy.
Amen.
and distance between me and the toxic folks.
Amen. People need to learn you can love people from afar. It's a real thing.
You know, I'm cool with loving you or loving the memory of you.
Hey, and they can still be around to have that memory because you don't have to allow toxic people in your life. You know, a couple of weeks ago, Michael and I were talking about, I know you ladies have heard, and Rob, you and I have talked about this before, too. You know how they misquote, you know, blood is thicker than water?
Mm-hmm.
That's a misquote, you guys. Yes. Hello. Is this thing on? Yes. You guys have heard it wrong all of your lives. We're going to blow your little bubble today. We're going to burst it today. Michael, get him on some facts. Where'd that come from?
So, and the full idiom there is actually the blood of the covenant is stronger than the blood of the womb, which basically is means the opposite of what people have been using that idiom for the longest. The bonds you form are the ones that take precedence, you know, wherever you place that value. You don't have to base that love for someone on just sort of a genetic tie. Being related doesn't mean that these people have any obligation to care for you, be with you, those things. And, you know,
woo, tell it.
Like Bridget, Mom, Bridget and I, we've talked several times about, like, sort of freeing yourself from that concept of obligating people in your head. Like, when I came to the place where I understood that, you know what, just because I'm nice to somebody doesn't mean that they're obligated to be nice to me. You know, if I tell somebody, remember, a secret between two is not a secret. They don't owe me any measure of, like, confidentiality or anything like that. You know, they might keep the secret, but they don't have to. They could get mad at me today, tomorrow, next week, and throw it in my face or tell somebody else, you know? So, and I guess freeing myself of obligation like that in my mind also allowed me to kind of step outside and look at my relationships and see, you know, it's okay that, like, I'm not speaking to this person. And in my book, anybody can get this distance. Like, I can ghost anybody, my mother, my father, my sister, my brother. It doesn't matter what position you hold. If you affect my well-being and my peace of mind, you got to go.
All right, we got another call. Let's see who this caller is. Caller, you are on air with Conversations with B. Rob and Michael. What's going on? Caller. Hello. New caller.
Hey, Bridge, I think it's just me. I'm just calling in. It might be me.
Oh, shit. Ah! Is this Clint Watson, the blank shooter?
Yeah, the one and only.
Hey, bruh. Welcome back, Clint Watson.
So full of shit.
For those of you who are new to the show, this is our brother, Sydney. Sydney, he go back from the first show. And we kind of did him a – do you think we did him a little dirty, Rob, or no?
It was a little injustice, but it was worth it.
It was worth it. You guys, if you haven't checked out our show, I'll put them up later. But just so you guys know, 13 years ago, we just kind of played a little dirty trick on Sydney. We didn't tell him he was live on air. And he shared some very personal information with us.
dirty helpful.
Sydney, you still shooting blanks?
That's like telling secrets. He told his own secrets.
I'm proud of what I did now. But y'all still should have let a brother know he was live. I was sharing that with two close friends two close friends, which is one is my sister and her best friend, and they're gonna put me out there like that. But hey, I'm proud of it. Hey, we got good ratings off of it. Hey, I stuck it and rolled it out for what it is.
You still shooting blanks there, Clint Watson. We good. No more children
you're
popping up.
You damn skipping. All I can get.
All right, so now we're talking about toxic relationships, toxic family relationships. Michael just went over, like, the quote about the blood of the covenant is thicker than the water of the womb. And so I know we probably blew up in people's minds, and you guys can research it. We're not lying to you. We're not going to come up here without facts. So we got facts. So what that means is the bonds that you form with people outside of your family are more often than not more sacred and more coveted than the ones of your family. Because we all know it be your own people. So
facts.
You know your own people. So it's the we're saying that to tell people it's okay when you have toxic family members, toxic anybody, it's okay to set your boundaries. And that's what we call it in the therapy world, boundaries. You got to set them. You can love people and not have to deal with their BS.
Yeah, exactly. I like to piggyback off of that, Bridget.
Go ahead.
In saying that, I'm going to give you a prime example. I'm not ashamed about what I'm about to say. But I have a family member that I had to separate myself from because it's no matter how much I do for that individual, they always still tell people, oh, I don't have family. No, I don't have family. But, yeah, when they need something, they come to that person, they deny being a family. So I had separated myself from that family member and loved them afar. And it wound up in my life. The young lady that's on the phone now, Robin Thomas, we're not even blood related, but we have such a bond that I wish I would have had with my actually family member that I cannot separate myself from. So I was able to separate myself from the family member that always put me down or say they don't have family. And then it is sad that your own blood family members use you like that and then quit to turn their head the other way and like you're not even related to them when you have a close mm-hmm. person such as the young lady that's on the phone that I'm talking about now that have your back 24/7 no matter what we go through, disagreements or whatever. She still loved me for who I am, and I still love her for who she is. She knows she called me today or tomorrow or whatever. I'm going to be there for her. I'm going to make sure she got what she needs. So that you're right. That's a true statement. Love afar.
Yep.
You still can love yep. your family member, but your family member not going to do right by you. You got to separate yourself from that because you don't. You're not going to have no type of sanity. You're going to be in depression trying to figure this thing out.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Mm-hmm.
So you have to separate yourself mm-hmm. from that. And when I did that, the stress came off of my heart, and I felt so much better. So I'm just here to say that's a true statement.
Mm-hmm. Amen. All right. That's what I'm talking about, Sid.
Say
that's
that.
What I'm talking about.
Say that.
mm-hmm.
Like that freedom that you feel when you know you don't have to tether yourself to that toxic individual is a whole feeling. Because a lot
mm-hmm.
of times we'll do that. We'll tether ourselves because they have a type. This is our mom. This is our dad. This is our brother. This is our sister. And stay in that toxic environment and never stop to question why are we doing it. Because it's a learning behavior, number one, because it's what we're taught. But I'm here to teach a different thing. This is why I got into therapy is, and I didn't even say that. Me and Rob said we need to catch up and let y'all know what we've been up to. We're going to say that. But in the years since our first show, I am now a marriage and family therapist, so that's what I do. I counsel people about your relationships and your environment, and I've learned it really does start with our family. Children are really born as a clean slate. I believe that. If you look at babies and look at babies that are, you know, in a good environment, they're the happiest little creatures in the world. They're so freaking happy. Little steam bun babies got a little fat legs. And just happy. The behaviors come later. And that's what they learn. So if a baby's in a happy environment and they're getting their needs, their basic needs taken care of, they're going to thrive. And and that's emotionally and physically. If they are not, they are going to grow at a different way. And especially with us black families, we're real toxic as fuck. Black families, we toxic. Why are we toxic? We'll get to that in later shows. We'll have deeper shows than that. In the future, but black families, we're known to be very toxic, and we don't even realize we're toxic. Like beating our children. Did anybody stop to think why that's not really a good thing?
I'm teaching fear. It's the only thing they're learning.
You're teaching fear. You're teaching your child that I can get my way to violence. That if I beat you, or if you beat someone, that they're going to do what you want them to do. It's not a good look. And it stems back to slavery days. But again, we'll get into that in another show because we'll have receipts for y'all then. I wasn't ready to death. But it goes back to that. And the reason why, you know, this is the time of year everybody wants to be thankful. Oh, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. And the rest of the year is where you bitches at when I need y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Not me specifically. I'm saying from another family's point of view, and you're asking why the auntie doesn't come to your gathering, or you're asking why your cousin doesn't come to the gathering. Or they don't associate with you. And no one ever stops to say, hold up, am I the drama? Am I the reason that cousin so-and-so doesn't want to come?
That's deep. But it's true.
Mm-hmm.
Every one of us, I'm pretty sure, on this podcast tonight have experienced that already.
Oh, yeah.
Numerous times. And you still try to understand why.
Oh, straight up. You're the name.
You know, toxic conversations at the family table. Why do some aunties want to dig in your business? Why are you still single? Why you don't have no church?
No.
Why you? That's toxic, black people. Stop doing that. Or other people, if your nationality, people of color, anybody, if your family does that, know that that's a toxic behavior, and they don't need to be doing that to you. That's wrong. That's wrong.
Yes,
see,
but
then if you counter, if you.
Go ahead, Raw.
Finish up, Bridget.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Finish up, Bridget.
Oh, I was saying, if you counter that with, okay, say your auntie tell you, why you ain't got no kids? And you be like, why your husband still cheating? You the problem then.
Yeah, you ain't supposed to come back like that.
You ain't supposed to come back like that. They supposed to be able to say whatever toxic thing to you, and you the problem. My favorite thing is this, which people I hate. Oh, girl, you so skinny. If I start calling people fat, I'm going to be a mean person. That's not going to be right. I'm so sick of going to events from old family and friends that you still skinny. Okay, why is that a problem?
But then the moment you gain weight, be the first ones to notice.
Exactly, Michael.
And another thing that toxic family members are good for, and that's like just gaslighting all of your failures, because your families know all the troubles you've gone through, your goods and bads, your highs and lows.
Mm-hmm.
They know
you
all that. But when you get around, you know, in a family situation, you always have one who's quite envious on the down low, but we'll try to gaslight a situation and only point out your failures, you know, and we'll go back to your childhood years, you know,
come on out.
All your failures, but underlying issue is they have not reached the platform that you're on, so the best thing for them to do is to keep knocking you down by bringing up toxic things. And that is, you know, that type of toxic person will make you want to stay away from family gatherings so that you don't have to, you know, to put up with that, you know? And
you don't have to endure all of that.
You don't have to do it, you know, and even if you take the high road and go to that person and be like, hey, you need to chill, you know, with all of that, you know, because if I come out with your failures, if I come out with your foolishness, you know, then you don't want to kick my behind. You don't want to cut me off the family tree altogether.
Mm-hmm.
But it's okay
ready to throw hands.
For you to dance like me. You know, but somebody said to you, and you're going to cry like a little punk, you know, and now everybody mad with you. But it's okay for them to gaslight you, put you down, but secretly they wish that they were where you are.
Hello.
Hello. Now, add on to that. Not only you find people that does that, but when they do that kind of stuff to you or say those things to you, you have to sit back, breathe, and then take a look at them and look them in the eyes, and you see the unhappiness that they're unhappy with themselves. It's not that they really mean what they're saying to you. It's that, like she said, they're jealous. So they're unhappy within themselves that they wish they can still look like you do. Because, like, you get some of us that don't age, or you have some of us that, like she said, doing well in life, and you still stagnated. You might be stagnated in your weight. You might be stagnated where your mental health is. You might be stagnated in your job, and you see somebody else moving on or still looking good because they feel good about themselves. Why can't you do the same thing and stop feeling good about yourself? Stop knocking me because I'm feeling good. You trying to take my happiness because I'm happy within myself. So you need to be trying to find some energy to stop being happy within yourself. Do what's going to make you happy.
Yep.
Yep.
But sometimes you got to understand. Some people don't know what happiness is.
Hello.
That's due to the fact that they've been miserable for so long. You know what I'm saying?
That is so true.
When they are happy, or when they should be happy, they're still soaking in their faults, or soaking into whatever it is that you know turned them off.
But it goes back to what Sid said earlier. They don't love themselves, and that is where the kicker is.
I don't think it's not that they don't love themselves.
That person they see in the mirror, they despise that person.
I beg to differ on the fact that they don't love themselves. I think that they just never receive love, and they don't know how to give love. You know what I'm saying?
They don't love themselves. But that's a part of it. If you think about it, if you haven't learned about it, you really, because now you feel unworthy as an individual of love because you've never been loved. So if nobody loves me, how can I love myself? And I've had clients like that all the time, and that's one of my things that I'm good at is to help them see that they are loved. And the person that you need to start loving, all that love you're looking for everybody else, baby, you got to look in the mirror, and that's where you got to start. You got to look at yourself and start loving that person, regardless of what the outside tells you or what you've seen on the outside. You've got to find yourself credible. And hold on, we just got another caller. I don't want to cut you all off, but they've been holding for 3 minutes. Caller, what's up? Introduce yourself. How you doing?
Can you hear me? This is Carla Mack.
Yes.
Hey, Carla.
Carla, what's up, baby?
Hi, Carla.
Oh, my God, Carla.
Hi.
It's Carla.
The party is here, girl. Come on in.
All right. Girl, okay, somebody pour Carla a drink. Pour Carla a drink. Let me get Carla a drink.
We will make wobble,
okay,
but it don't fall down.
I got me. I'm finna roll me a good flip up for here.
Live, Carla.
Okay.
Hey Carla. Carla.
Yes.
I was gonna catch you up with the conversation. We're talking about toxic relationships, family members, friends.
Okay.
I know Carla got stories. Let me pull me another shot real quick, because I know.
Okay. I go to sleep on y'all ass. Y'all hear me snoring.
Get it, Carla.
Hey.
Y'all want me for no shot.
I just shot it out. Tear it up like newspaper, because it ain't built right no way. Let's go.
All right, Carla.
That's Michael.
That's Michael. You ain't seen him in years.
Hey, Michael.
Hey, Miss Carla. You doing, sugar?
Hey, baby. Hey. So,
Carla, how do you handle toxic family members at family gatherings?
I sit back and smoke me a joint, look at me laughing. They say the whole crazy.
Medicaid. Listen.
Hey, and say these motherfuckers crazy. Sad. You know they gonna tell my business. I'm just listening to them. my lips be filled with words, but be full. My mouth be full of goddamn smoke.
Live it.
For real.
Okay. Well, like, I didn't cut with them. Oh, just.
Hey,
so you guys know, those of you that listen to the show, we cuss.
Hey,
we cuss, and
you know
we act up on this show. That's why it's PG-13.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, ma'am. So
yeah,
feel.
I made sure they know we cuss. It's okay to cuss. This is a grown people show.
Don't let your children come on the show, boo.
They're not supposed to come.
B, don't try to get cute now, B.
I already rated it right. You know.
Well, Jim, goddamn, no little cheering because they say worse shit than us. And they do worse than us.
Amen. You ain't never lied.
They know all whole bars.
My new thing is, you guys, TikTok. One of my friends here in Hawaii got me on TikTok, and now it's like
you be doing your thing.
Thank you, Carla.
do. You
I
don't
got
you
on TikTok.
I'll
admit.
Everybody
just
TikTok.
I love
hey,
me some TikTok. I love it.
I'm gonna be straight with y'all. We sitting at the game, my wife and I are watching Trenton game. It's another group of teenagers sitting next to us, and they was the stuff that was coming out of their mouth like we wasn't even there. Y'all know good and well back in the days. If we said that back to man, woo, Lord have mercy, we wouldn't even walk in.
You wouldn't talk around adults. You sure wouldn't. These are this new generation different. Yeah, we insert things we wouldn't say.
Yeah, right in the back. We
you know what?
Right
and that
right
brings me another point. While we were on family. Oh, who was that? What's your name?
Back in the day, anybody hit the bus in the back. Now, if you hit anybody bus in the back, they're going to get shot. If you turn in class.
For real. For real. Back in our day, if you did some bad shit and got caught, the neighbor could beat your ass. And then you got another ass whooping when you got home once the neighbor told your mama and your daddy what you was doing. See, like, well, damn.
But you know what?
From now, what we allow, and that's the difference between the generation before and now. It's the allowing. These people are doing it. These kids are doing it because they're getting away with it. Because the younger generation have kids younger and younger, and they don't have that respect. So they feel like they can say anything, and nobody calls them on it because they're afraid. Oh, they're gonna call. I'm calling these kids. I call these kids out. Hey, I don't give a fuck. Let me tell you now, I don't give a fuck.
Hey,
I
agree with that because when I be at the school, my son come out really dead. Why are you even worrying about what they're saying? I said that's not the point. They being very disrespectful and they showing less. And that as I say, if you do that. That means you don't have no respect for yourself because you around here run your mouth like you grown and you still a child. So that means you don't have
no
respect for yourself.
He wants you to ignore and not have anything to say. That's what they want you to do.
There was one school, I don't remember the school because I read so much information. Somebody fact check while y'all got time if you want to go. There was a school recently in an area, of course, low socioeconomic area, where the black fathers got together because there were so many fights at the school and there was so much uproar with these children. And the black fathers said, you know what, we stopping this. And they made like a coalition with black fathers and they start stopping these children in the hallway. They took it upon themselves to be fathers because they said, you know what, maybe some of them ain't got fathers. Maybe some of these kids don't know. And they saw in a couple of months all of that subsided. They didn't have as many fights. It pretty much died down because those fathers were a presence in that school, and they were giving kids love that didn't have love, and they were giving kids discipline that didn't have they weren't physically touching these kids, but they'd yell at them and fuss, hey, you know your little ass supposed to be in class. Get your little ass to class right now. Go on to class. No, you know you're not supposed to be doing that. Go to class.
Hey. And Bridge, actually, that you're talking about now actually was on 60 Minutes. I can't remember the city that they was doing this in, but this was on 60 Minutes, and you're absolutely right. So that is true.
No,
that 60 Minutes did a special on that.
And this is what I want to
have my ass on the news. I've been a beat day asshole.
You know what, Carla?
Carla said you can get these hands.
One called me a crackhead bitch and slammed the door and walked out the classroom.
And walked out the classroom. Carla said, see, I'm about to lose my
job.
That
shit hard. Hey, you said that door hard. Boy, if I could have got my hand on that one like death.
So did you see that thing that the kids were doing on TikTok, slap a faculty member?
Oh,
and the response.
No.
Yes. It was a hashtag.
Yeah, that was a whole thing. That was a whole thing.
And let me tell you something. The teachers, some of these teachers out here were coming on and said, baby, think about that thing. Your parents will be getting a nice little casket, honey. Run up.
One teacher said, I'm from the Nook if you want
to. I didn't hear about that.
These people need to understand that they need to get their kids because their teachers were raised on Nuck if you buck.
Yeah.
I know one thing. I'm hitting back.
Hey, Nez, you got an example?
No.
Well, yeah. This kid hit me. You know, like I work in behavior, working with kids with disability. They got behavior issues. They don't have disabilities. You know, they like ODD, you know, and, you know.
Okay.
ODD,
you
know what I'm saying? ODD is a position of defiance. So therefore, they don't want to do what you ask them to do. So when you ask them to do something, they don't want to do it, so they get angry.
Sorry, but you said they got OPP.
No,
I yeah, you
don't
know me.
I don't know. Look, hey, I don't know where your mind is, ma'am.
You know me.
No, it ain't other people. No.
I thought you were with regular kids.
You said what?
I
said OGD.
You know me.
Opposition is defiant disorder. So check it. Let me finish now. I'll straight up tell the kids, you know, you hit me, I'm hitting you back. You in for a room waiting. You hit me, I'm hitting you back. So this particular kid, you know, his thing was every time you mention the word do your work, he gets upset. You know what I'm saying? And then when he gets upset, he starts cussing you out. Fuck you, you nigga bitch.
You tell him
blah, blah, blah,
oh, what?
Yeah.
Wait, you say what?
Oh, yeah, he called me a nigga bitch, and, you know,
he
know
what he can.
Listen, my...
And I said,
okay.
I told him, I said, well, you know, but he was a mixed kid, so I told him, I said, look at here, I see you calling me a nigga bitch, so that means your daddy must be one, because he's black, you know? And you can't be saying stuff like that. I said, well, guess what, don't say it to me then. You know what I'm saying? You're saying it to me, so I'm just telling you what it is. I ain't saying it to you, but I'm just saying reverse it. Your daddy black, you know? So then he said, so I'll fuck you up. I said, yeah. So I whispered in his ear, because when I do say things to him, I don't let nobody hear it. So I whispered in his ear. I said, you hit me, motherfucker, I'm going to bust your motherfucking ass. You understand? And so he started screaming, hey, you don't have to be talking to me like that.
Listen.
I don't even know what you're talking about, you know. So then he told him, oh, man,
said, if you're going to talk about it, be about it.
And
throw
I said
your
I was
going
to bust his ass, you know. And I told his mom, I said, I don't even know what he's talking
how
about.
How old are these kids? How old are they?
Fifth grade, fourth grade, third grade.
We were with the same age children.
They would try you. They would try you, honey.
Yeah.
They would try
you. Piece of
shit. Yeah, we work with the same children.
I mean, they call you anything. They say anything to you. Yeah. You know, so I just let them know, you know, you hit me, I'm hitting you back. That's just the bottom line. You hit me, I'm hitting you back. I mean, that's just it.
But then,
if I was in that school and they talk about slap a staff member, oh, it'd have been on. I mean, I'd probably have to, you know. Lose my job, because I ain't gonna let no kid just walk up to me and punch me. That ain't gonna happen.
I've got a big book and be beat me.
I mean, they doing grown up things. You know what I'm saying? Like Trika said,
that's right.
That's all the real dad, for real.
Yeah.
They doing grown up things, so
you get treated.
And they'll be waiting by your car after school and shit. I'm like, who in the fuck waiting sitting by my car? There's a whole bunch of them fuckers. I'm like, oh.
Hey, I'm gonna give you. Hey guys, I'm gonna give y'all a prime example. When I used to work at Rain, we had an incident in the gym, and so the dean asked me to get the kid that was cutting up. So I get him and walk him out, put him out in the assembly. So after everything was done and over with, and we got everybody cleared out, I'm the last one back in the gym, make sure every kid go to class. So as I'm walking out in the courtyard, this joker gonna approach me talking about. Come on, nigga, you don't know who I am, man. I'm from Moncrief and Myrtle. I said, I don't care where you're from, but you're
Moncrief
and
Myrtle.
Cutting up, and I put you out.
Yeah, you know what that is.
And
you don't hold it by yourself.
So I look up. Here comes eight motors around me, right? I said, this about. I said, I tell you what, the first one of them jokers hit me, you're going to be the first one I take out. I said, you're going to be the first one I take out. And hold on, I'm getting to that. So once they kind of broke away, because one of the boys I worked with his mama at the drug rehab, because I was a drug rehab counselor as well, And I worked that job doing the my sucker shift. So he realized it. So what I did, I walked out to my car, being stupid, wasn't thinking at the time. Remember, I'm in my mid-20s now. So I go up under my seat, pull out my little dirtager, stick it up under my shirt and my pants, and I walk back. And one of the boys watched what I did. And when I went back to the courtyard, the fools are still standing there. So I'm like, man, so what's up? What you going to do? So one of the boys said, man, y'all been leaving some water alone, man. They say, I'm telling y'all right now, y'all better walk away because that man went to his car. I'm telling y'all better back off. And them jokers broke camp and went on by their way, man. And I thought about that thing, man. I said, nah, because the first one, like I said, the first one that hit me, I was going to take that child out. I was going to kill him because he was a bad seed. He was a bad seed.
He's about to be the example.
Yeah, he was gonna be the example. Cause they believe in game beat me up here, see. And but I resigned after that happened. I just went ahead and resigned because I said I'm not gonna be locked up in somebody's jail because I don't kill somebody's child because they want to try to be a grown ass man.
Mm-hmm.
So I just resigned.
Oh yeah, they'll walk up on you and shoot you in the head.
Yep.
They don't
yep.
care. They don't got bad. On that side of town.
See, but you know what, you guys? This is just giving me more information about the fact that these are learned behaviors. Nez and I pretty much do the same job because right now I work, you know, in the schools and I help these children with behaviors in elementary school. And there is no way children should be that violent before the age of 8.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way. There's no way.
Sometimes they're like, it's happening.
It's the environment that they're in. They're forced. There's one kid that they can't see. And in kindergarten, this little kid was punching everybody in the face. They were the adults were even afraid of this kid. He was so violent. Like, you look at him wrong, and he's punching you in the face. Imagine that. So now I'm like, what did you grow up in that you feel like when you see people and they look at you, you got to punch them in the face real quick. You got to survive. That's your survival instinct.
Yeah, that shit hurt if you don't just go up to them and punch them in the nose. I can just feel that.
Yo, they're looking at this little kid like he's feral, and I'm like, this poor little kid, though, because my mind is like, what did you live through? And that's what we're like. So when we're seeing these little teens and these preteens that are ready to shoot, that means they've been, and I want to say this to everybody listening, think about these are children, and think about the environment that they might have been in that you don't know about. For a child to be that child and that threat, the environment
that
they're in is literally fucking hell. They are going through hell, teachers, and I applaud all the teachers because the teachers don't realize that. I find that out later because I'm one of the counselors. I'm, you know, therapy. This is what I – but they're going through hell. It's combative in their home. These teachers are telling me
sometimes they got to let them
take a nap in the corner. So this child – learning is the last thing on this child's mind. They don't want to learn. They don't give a fuck. They need their needs.
You know,
and that is the problem.
You know what?
So
you know what, Bridget?
What do we do with the problem?
Like this other, like someone trying to say, that's not so much true. I've seen kids come out of a good background, got parents, got good jobs, giving them the world.
Let me tell you something. Let me just put this little gem on everybody. What you think is a good background is not a good background. Sometimes people with money and privilege, and you think there's a lot of shit going on. There's a story from New Jersey back in the day where this man worked in the FBI, and he was molesting his own daughter. Okay? She caught him.
She reported him raping her.
So this is what I'm saying. What you think is a good background and what you think is something, it may not be what the appearance is. A lot of these people have an appearance. Children are born, and for those of you who are Christian and know about Christian, children are born straight from God and happy and joyful. Joyful is the state that God wants us to be in. The universe, God, whatever you want to say. We are born in joy. Children are born joyful. When that joy is taken away, it's because of outside influences. Before the age of, now I'm an adult. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the elementary school kids, these kids, before their personality sets in,
you know,
I'll tell you
after
this,
that's
check
the
this
ones
out,
I'm referring to. The children. So by the time, like, when they come
look
to
it,
the ones that Sydney dealt with, they've been through so much shit in their life, they bout it, bout it.
Yeah.
No.
But they
no,
also
no, no, no.
know who not to fucking try. That's why they know not to try Nez. They know not to try Carla. Sydney.
No, but check
Robin,
this
two
out.
Really.
Bridget.
But,
Bridget,
I mean, and in truth, my generation on, from my generation on, it's basically been that whole need to grow up way faster than we should have been growing up.
What year you were born?
I was born in 81. I'll be 40 81. Next month.
Okay,
but
yeah, you passed, you all right. But the 93, like, my son, he gave me
Carla,
pure
Carla,
fucking
wait.
Hell. My son gave me pure hell. That's why I say that's not necessarily true. It's the
true.
It's
yeah, exactly.
environmental product. So, shit, girl, my son.
But you know what, Carla?
My son,
Carla, let me put this gym on you, baby. Let me put this gym on you. Sometimes some of us give our children too much, and that causes problems.
Say it.
That's what's happening right now. No, you don't need to see it. That's what's happening
parents,
right now.
But we doing too much for these children, and that's our problem.
And you're not
we
giving
need,
them
we
an option.
We recognize that.
Yeah.
But when we do too much, they say we didn't do enough.
Group therapy on Robin and Lon.
But the thing is that, like, yeah, there's such a thing as giving a child too much.
That's what
and they
do.
Turn out different.
But
you know what?
Feel
it's
like,
never too late to break
well,
no,
well,
so that's why they do what they want to do, break in the house and do all this shit here.
Well, I mean, these more recent generations don't know a life without internet access, so they're being exposed to things at a much earlier age, learning things sooner than they should, but...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just like,
but again,
I don't mean to cut you off.
Who gives them access to this internet as children? Question. Who gives them access?
Their family members. Their
parents.
The parents.
Parents.
Now, because everything is on the computer in school, now that they have computers in school, they have it in school.
Hey,
so,
let me tell you.
They
them schools, unless it's in I cannot get on my school Wi-Fi and check my Facebook at all. I have to be on my AT&T data to check my shit. So these schools don't
well,
let you get
yeah,
on blog social media.
No, they don't. No, they don't. Because you can't get on Facebook. You can get on YouTube.
You can't
get on
Facebook. You can't get on no social media there on school. No, you can't.
Okay.
If it's
a school I am.
At
Williams Elementary, they get on YouTube.
Yep.
The kids be on YouTube. Yes, they do. But they can't get
see,
on
that's something
that
I would say go back
blog,
and, yeah,
Instagram
and go back and reinvent that. I can't get on none of that on the schools that I work for here in Hawaii.
Oh, no,
I
get
can't
on
get on none of that. They,
mm-hmm.
I can't
they
get on
here.
None of my stuff.
They
I have to go out. In fact,
Texas.
I have to leave my office and go and get a good internet signal outside if I want to get on my social media at work. that's how it is. So some of these schools, but you know what? Ask yourself, what area are these schools in? Because this is where the systemic racism
yep.
and keeping people down is coming from. If your school is allowing children to get on that shit, then you know there's a problem. It's a fucking
yep.
problem. And these rich schools
yep.
and these better economic schools, you cannot get on none of that.
Mm. Well, that's where this one is, in a very populated community. And, they don't have that many blacks in the school, but it's mostly, yeah. These family members are pretty, you know, pretty there. You know what I'm saying? But like I say, they get on from kindergarten to fifth.
So what the grade, like the grade level itself, like the A school,
elementary
B school.
School.
I think it's
that's
total.
The elementary school. That's
no,
too
no,
young.
No.
It's too young for children to be watching certain things.
The school ratings. Yes. The school ratings.
Yes.
Like here in Florida. Like
oh,
here
the schools
Florida,
I work for,
like,
they're up in the top 10 over here. These
okay.
schools I work for, they up there. I think they were rated, one of them was rated number 2 and number 1 in their area. And then out of the schools in Hawaii, they're up there. They are up there. Like, I am not going to down the schools that I work for, they got it and they bout it. And they're looking out for these children, and they care about these children, which is why I love working for them. But other schools, yeah, they probably, yeah. I bet if I went into the hood area schools, it'd probably be a whole different story. It'd be a whole different story. It'd be a whole different story.
Well, of course it'd be a whole different story.
Because a lot of more is now going to it. I've got first and second graders. You guys heard of this game called Minecraft? Anybody play that?
Yeah, that's a pretty.
Yeah.
That's a program. That's
I got first and second graders addicted to this darn game. And from what they're telling me, it sounds like it's too mature for a first and second grader to be playing. But yet they're coming to school with Minecraft t-shirts on. But this is what some of the parents, and this is, and this is the parents, please don't think I'm downing y'all. I love y'all. You're all, most of us on this phone have been parents, are parents. I'm not downing you guys. Most of us know this. It's the fact that we need to be more aware. I wasn't really plugged in when my kids were young and teenagers about what games they were playing, but we do need to be more aware when they're in that formative time. Those formative years, those years in elementary, we need to be plugged in to what they're watching, who they're hanging out, the games they're playing in this internet age, because some of these games are so advanced and they don't know any better. They're like, oh, this is fun. But they're being exposed to so much violence and different things that they don't need to be exposed to yet. So we got to start watching this shit, y'all, at an early age. I applaud the parents. Matter of fact, your child under the age of 5 should not be watching more than 20 minutes of TV each day at all. They should not be watching SpongeBob. And let me say that again. If your child is under 10, they should not be watching SpongeBob SquarePants.
Well, it seems like mine don't stay still long enough to watch.
Like, for real. Because they don't understand that. It's too much. And it's giving behaviors. It's showing behaviors. Children learn behaviors. Behaviors are a learned thing. So if they're not getting it from the parents, they're getting it from that television show.
When it's around it, TV,
This is where they're getting it from. Again, and then, again, another conversation. I'm going to take it out there. And this is why a lot of the world don't really understand that black people can be educated and fun and loving, and we're just like everybody else, but better. Yes, I said that. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
But,
of course,
you know, it's the magic. But it's because of the things you see on TV. I had this one guy here recently tell me after hanging Asian guy, he was like, this is the first time I've been around this many black people in all my life, and this man was 50, y'all. And he was around four black people. Four of us.
Well, damn.
Four. Quattro.
Wow.
Quattro.
That's what he told us.
And I'm glad
he
was around a good impression. That is a positive experience. I'm like, the TV been lying to y'all.
Wow.
These colonizers been lying to y'all this whole time. Yes. It's a learned behavior. They're learning stuff from TV. So sometimes people, if you're traveling around the world, I'll let y'all know, just the fact that most of the experiences these people have with black people is from TV. They don't even know because all they see on TV is thugs and drug dealers and stuff like that. So they don't know that we cool as fuck. We cool as fuck, y'all, and we can cook. So there's that. So. So, yeah, that blew my mind, y'all. When he said that, I really sat on that for a few hours. I never knew I was going to be in my life that somebody would ever tell me that. I'm one of the few black people that ever hung around in their life and they 50 years old. This man went for 50 years, y'all.
He was very sheltered.
Wasn't he being on a shell or something?
Yeah, people can self-segregate.
Living like
people
Catholic
self-segregate
on
all the time.
Damn.
People self-segregate. And you know, black
there
people
are indigenous people here who have never seen.
Yep.
Wow.
We will self-segregate, too. We will go in, even when we travel in other countries, think about it. When we go somewhere, who do we gravitate to? We gravitate to something that's comfortable because that's our nature. Let's go to something comfortable. So it's hard to come out outside of our norm unless we, like, vibe with someone like, oh, you like that song. Oh, you like that book. Oh, you like that. And then, oh, okay, you're not that different from me. We just look differently, but inherently we have similarities. We lost somebody. I don't know who we lost. Who we lost? Who here?
I'm still here.
I'm still here.
I'm here.
I'm here.
Sid? That was Sid ass.
Yo.
Clint Watson, you forever will be shooting blanks, motherfucker. Damn. I swear.
He's at a basketball game. His son's basketball game.
Oh, that's right. He said he was at the game. He going to cuss me out later. I say shit just for Clint to cuss me out. We got 2 minutes left, you guys. So this is the format for the new conversations with B-Rob and Mike. Twice a month. What y'all say, first and last Sunday? What y'all think?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No, second and last.
All right, second and last Sunday. Who said no real quick? Was that Ned?
No. First and last.
All right. So we will be back the first Sunday and the last Sunday. You know, we got lives now, y'all. But we are back.
Okay.
And we are going to actually have guests coming. Matt Coulson's coming back, you guys. If you don't know, definitely come to the page. Go back and look at our old shows. Robin and I are going to have a lot of our old guests back that can come back. We're going to have some great new guests. I got some comedians lined up. We got Matt Coulson coming with his singing-ass self. I love him. That's my brother from another mother. We got folks coming back. Stay tuned. I got my girl Lisa.
Matt?
She's going to come back. Huh?
You said Matt?
Matt Coulson. Yes, he is a very talented singer. He was one of the first musicians we had on our show. Right, Rob? Yes. And his debut album, he premiered it on our show. I'm trying to get with Romney, y'all. I don't know if you guys know who Romney Malco is, but he is the black guy on the 40-year-old version. He was on our show before, and he actually announced a character on Me and Robin's show. That he now has a movie on Starz. It's called Tijuana Jackson. Go see the movie. Yeah. It's hysterical. Listen to our old show. It took this man 13 years, and I love this white man like he a brother. I ain't even talk to him in a minute. But it took him 13 years to get his vision from our show to the movie, and I applaud that man.
Wow.
He did not give up.
Yeah.
He did not quit. And when I saw the movie, I like shed a tear because I was like, oh, my God, he introduced this character on Me and Robin's show. And I felt blessed that he was comfortable to come on set. So I'm trying to get with him so he can come back and tell us about what everything was going on in his life. But that show is on the page, you guys. So make sure you go listen to our own shows, get our vibe. We back and better than before. That's what I'm saying. Last words, ladies and gentlemen. Let's go.
Y'all be blessed.
Great. Y'all enjoy.
I'm good.
Until next time.
Next time.
Great to be both of you.
All right, y'all. We're going to take a tote and blow it out.
Have a good week.
Hey.
Great week. Love you guys.
You're spoken.
All right.
Okay.
Have a good week.
Nice meeting you guys. Love y'all.
Same to you. Love you too.